Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yo, yo, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life. Well, Rocket can. Matthew Stafford dealing with an elbow injury. Sean McVay has agreed to a new contract. The terms very mysterious. We don't know how long the deal is going to be. It seemed like the Rams never wanted to tell us that Sean McVay agreed to a new contract. And a few weeks ago, Aaron Donald made it clear that if Sean McVay did not come back for this season, he would have retired after 8 years in the NFL. So we look at the window that the Los Angeles Rams have, and they're going to have a window for the next 2 to 3 seasons, bare minimum, to go be a consistent Super Bowl contender. I'm not telling you they're going to win necessarily multiple Super Bowls, but it's not out of the realm of possibilities, because this was a group in year number one that they won a Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford as their quarterback. And you would think in the next 2 to 3 years in an NFC that is not very stable. You have the Packers that are very good, but no more Devontae Adams on Green Bay. We don't know how much longer Aaron Rodgers is going to play. I think he'll play for 2 more seasons. That would be my guess this year and then the year after that. And if he walks away after this season, oh my goodness gracious, the dead cap money for the Packers, they would absolutely be screwed. Tom Brady, I think this is his final year in Tampa Bay, but I had Tony Dungy in studio yesterday. He thinks Tom Brady's going to go play for a few more years. The only way he doesn't think that's going to be the case is if Brady does win the Super Bowl. But after that, this is wide open. The Cowboys are stuck in that very good territory. The Eagles were debating if Jalen Hurts is the guy, but they have a very good roster. Carolina, can they get some life this year with Baker Mayfield? Can Jameis Winston have some success with the New Orleans Saints? You look at the NFC West. Is Kyler Murray just going to be someone that's very good, or will become an elite quarterback in this league, an elite quarterback that could win in this league? What is going to be the ceiling for Trey Lance in year number one? And will he be the guy, or will this be a move 3-4 years from now where we look back and go, that was the demise of a very bright football mind in Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch in San Francisco? But that's the landscape of the NFC. The NFC, when you look at the future, it's a lot of hope. We have old guys that are still great in Brady and Rodgers, two of the better quarterbacks in this league. You have Stafford, who's in his mid-30s now, and he's someone that he's not going to go play another decade. You would not expect him to go play another decade in the NFL. But you look at the future of the NFC at the quarterback spot. Can Justin Fields become that guy? He's in a bad organization right now with the Bears. Hurts is a question mark. Dak and Kyler Murray, I think there's limitations on if they'll ever be great. But I see this NFC, Ryan. Is there another young quarterback that you latch on to in any of these four divisions in the NFC and go, wow, that could be a long-term answer?
No.
We're in the AFC. It's loaded. Mahomes, Allen already established. You just get Russell Wilson. We know Justin Herbert's a stud. Burrow, Lamar Jackson. You could go on and on and on when talking about the state of the AFC, and then there are some question marks. Mac Jones, Tua, a lot of belief in Trevor Lawrence, but not a belief in the Jacksonville Jaguars. I look at the state of the AFC compared to the NFC. The AFC already, you know there's going to be mainstays for the next decade. In the NFC, who's the guy? Is there a guy right now that you could latch on to 5 years from now that you think's going to dominate that conference? I can't say it's Dak. Dak's a top 10 quarterback. Kyler Murray could be a top 10 quarterback, but are those guys going to win? Dak couldn't even get that final playoff against the 49ers, and Kyler Murray, it's one playoff game. I'm not going to freak out and say that his career is over because that would be absurd, but that one playoff game, we've seen guys have ugly first playoff performances. That was one of the ugliest first playoff performance I've ever seen. And this offseason, yes, he eventually got what he wanted, but for a while, Kyler Murray was a guy I was scratching my head over, even though I think he can be a very good quarterback. I don't think there's a quarterback right now in the NFC, Ryan, that we look at and we go, okay, that guy's here necessarily for the next 10 years to be a great quarterback, not just very good.
Only way that's going to happen is if a quarterback from the AFC jumps.
You know who I would love to see jump? Lamar.
You know what's funny? Same.
You know where I want to see Lamar Jackson go to?
Where?
I want Lamar Jackson to be quarterbacking the Minnesota Vikings.
Hmm.
Could you imagine Lamar with Justin Jefferson? I know Thielen's getting older. You have Dalvin Cook. I love KJ Osborne. If Irv Smith Jr. could stay healthy, he could be potentially a force in this league. You bring in a coach that I'm not going to pretend as if I'm going to call him a great coach or any of that, but he's an offensive-minded coach, young, played the position of quarterback, was drafted by the Patriots in the third round all those years ago, really didn't have an NFL career, but this guy is an offensive-minded coach. Imagine the creativity. If the Ravens can't get a deal done with Lamar Jackson, Lamar Jackson doesn't want to get a deal done with the Baltimore Ravens, and you get to just simply see Lamar with Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook. That is a high-octane offense if I've ever seen one. That is an offense that you would love to play Madden football in. That would be a whole lot of fun. And if you're Lamar, AFC's crowded right now. NFC, Brady could eventually retire. Rodgers, same. Stafford has another 3-4 years of probably elite football. Questions about Dak, if he could be great. Questions about Kyler Murray, if he could be great. I would look at the Vikings, and I know they're bringing back Kirk Cousins for another year. They already got that contract done. But eventually Kirk Cousins will be out of Minnesota, I hope. And I'm just, if it can't work in Baltimore, I really would like to see Lamar Jackson go be the face of the NFC with the Minnesota Vikings.
Contract could work out, too. You know, playing the franchise tag next year, you get Kirk one more year.
Then maybe trade him after that.
Right.
You go franchise tag him again, slap him with the second tag, and then you get some value back for him. Because you can't just let Lamar Jackson walk for a conditional third round.
Agreed.
Pick. That would be an organization that we usually rarely rip in Baltimore, we would rip them to shreds if they let Lamar Jackson walk for a conditional third-round pick, or a compensatory third-round pick is the way I should say it. But getting back to this conversation on the Rams, I really do believe we get caught in the big three, and I'm not being disrespectful when I exclude Cooper Kupp. We all know the value that Cooper Kupp has to that football team. If Cooper Kupp would have won MVP of the NFL last year, I would not have had a single problem with it. But really, Matthew Stafford will determine how much longer Aaron Donald's going to play and how much longer Sean McVay's going to coach. Donald, I could see playing 2 more years, make it a decade, have all those first-team All-Pros but your first year, all those Pro Bowls that you made as well. I could go see Aaron Donald playing 10 years, and he already thought about retirement right before the Super Bowl. He already said if McVay didn't come back, he would have retired, and who knows? Retirements can be very flimsy. You say you're retired, but are you actually retired? There's a difference in saying you're retired than actually being in the retired mindset. For Donald, though, if he walks away after 10 years, it's not as if that means Sean McVay is going to retire, because if you still have the quarterback and the NFC continues to be weak, you'll have an opportunity. Now, when you compare Donald to Stafford, it's not even close. We all know Donald's one of the best players in football. Matthew Stafford's a very good player and showed what he could do when he had some pieces around him last year. But for Stafford, he's the quarterback. And you know the importance of quarterbacking in this league. You either have a quarterback or you don't. For McVay, you're a bright offensive mind. Would it maybe intrigue him to go find that quarterback in the draft? Remember, he did not draft Jared Goff. That was going back to the Jeff Fisher regime. And I know Les Snead's still there, and he was responsible for that. So maybe that could intrigue him to stick around a few years after Stafford calls it quits. But you look at Matthew Stafford. He's a free agent in 2027. I would think, is this his? I don't know if it will be his final contract necessarily with the Rams. Like, I could see them working out an extension and getting a deal done. But is he going to be playing football in 2027? At the age of 39? Do you think Matthew Stafford will be quarterback in the Rams in 2027?
I would probably say no. There was a lot of injuries. If you win another Super Bowl, it makes it easier to walk away. I'm going to say no.
Now, you also don't know the purpose and how guys view their purpose, right, and what makes them fulfilled, let's just say. But I would have to imagine after all those years of being good and just not having the proper pieces other than Calvin Johnson in Detroit, if you go win a second ring in LA and then you get to 39 and you kind of see that window starting to close, I don't believe that Matthew Stafford keeps on playing and gets back into a spot where, not that the Rams will ever become what Detroit was, but when you go to a team and you just know, okay, this team doesn't have a shot to win at all. I really do think Stafford, 2027, that's like the date I look at, and maybe it's just with the unrestricted free agency, that's why it's easy to do so, where he'll go play 3 or 4 more years, and then after that, if you don't win another ring, but you have really good statistical seasons, then maybe you're able to make a case for the Hall of Fame. But for Stafford, if he wants to get to the Hall of Fame, he's going to have to ball out these next 3-4 years. He doesn't necessarily have to win another ring. Statistically, though, he's got to be great, because the stats, not that they were bad in Detroit, but you got to then go have this second wave to even enhance that argument even more that it was Detroit that was holding him back, even though it was pretty clear and obvious after 1 year that he got a Super Bowl ring.
And the other thing we can't really count on right now is maybe he's having the time of his life. Like, when you play that much bad football in Detroit, if this is still a Super Bowl contending team,
all right,
come 2027, harder to walk away.
Have you ever flown first class?
No.
Okay, so then I won't use that analogy. Have you ever stayed at a 5-star hotel?
So it's some nice hotels. I don't know about 5-star.
Okay. You've stayed at some pretty crappy hotels, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah.
I think we've all stayed at crappy hotels.
Oh, yeah.
You know the difference and how much happier you are when you're in a really nice hotel compared to a crappy hotel? It's
pretty
a
happy.
Huge difference.
Oh, I agree.
And it makes you hungry to want to stay in that nice hotel as long as possible when you go on new vacations and not have to go back to that life of being in a crappy hotel. That's what Matthew Stafford's been. Matthew Stafford, and I'll use the airplane analogy, he was flying coach all those years, which coach is fine, but your back hurts, your legs hurt, they're stiff, you don't get the same attention as you do. But then you go sit in first class one time, and you get unlimited drinks, big comfy seats, extra leg room. You get all, a good meal, all the booze, everywhere you go, every 2 seconds, you need this, sir, you need this, sir, you need this, sir, do you need this, ma'am, all that. You then, if you have to go fly and coach again, it's not fun. So whenever the Rams get back to that coach category in their first class right now, that could ultimately dictate the old feelings of being in coach for Matthew Stafford when Matthew Stafford elects to walk away. This elbow injury, though, it fascinates me. And I've made the cheesy joke. Maybe it's because he's never played that late in his career, so he doesn't know how to handle it, and that's why his body had a tough time healing. I'm not terribly concerned about the elbow right now, but it is like a mild concern. It makes you raise an eyebrow, and you go, is this going to be a lingering issue all throughout the season? And I just hope the Stafford career doesn't come to an end because of injury. I hope it's just him able to walk off into the sunset saying, okay, I played 3-4 more years. I played at a great level. Win a Super Bowl again. Don't win a Super Bowl again. Whatever that may be. That's what I hope we're talking about 3-4 years from now if he does walk away. But if this is injury related and this elbow starts to linger and then it's worse than what we could have thought, that could really throw a wrench into this NFC playoff picture this year. Now, the Rams, they should be a playoff team. If you get Stafford for 10 games this year or whatever it is in a bad NFC, you could survive. But I look at the NFC and the state of the NFC, it's slim pickings on who we think's going to go to the Super Bowl. Rams, Bucks, and Packers, and then the fourth team, good luck trying to assess that. If Stafford has his elbow injury linger throughout the year, and we really only have the Bucks or the Packers as the teams that we, and the Bucks, they're now their backup center just got hurt today too. I saw a video. You already know Jensen's done for the year, then their backup center gets hurt. The NFC, it's got a weird vibe to it entering this year, Ryan. Packers don't have a true number one wide receiver. Stafford already has this ominous elbow injury. And now the Bucks, their offensive line had a lot of changes this offseason, and they're already dealing with the injury bug in the offensive line. However that fourth team's going to be is going to be fascinating, because that fourth team could be a lot more dangerous than the way that we talk about this right now. Take a timeout. When we come on back, got to do another first and goal. We'll preview the Jacksonville Jaguars. Duval. Tony Boselli just went into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. They just had the first preseason game of the year. So we got to preview the Jaguars and their upcoming season, what to expect with Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. NFL season is inching closer and closer. Who are the contenders and who are the pretenders? We have four downs to figure out your team's future. It's time now for First and Goal on the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, let's welcome in a friend to the program to preview the Jacksonville Jaguars. That is a senior reporter for the Jags, and that, of course, is JP Shadrick. JP, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
I'm doing great, Zach. That's a very emphatic introduction. Your voice guy there. Here we are. It's the preseason, so I feel it too, man. We're here. It's finally football.
I'll tell you, a big introduction happened at the draft when it was the announcement of Trayvon Walker as the number one overall pick. I didn't see that one coming. I would not have guessed it a month before the draft, but he was the pick. You being in the facility each and every day, we saw him get a sack in the Hall of Fame game. What have been the early returns so far, the premature returns on Trayvon Walker?
Well, I'll say this. I think they knew pretty early in the draft process, in hindsight, looking back at it, that he was probably the guy. But just the flexibility possibilities for him on the defensive line, I think, gave him the nod over Aiden Hutchinson. I think they probably felt that Hutchinson was more of a one-trick pony on the outside, and in theory, Trayvon was going to be that in the offseason program. Hey, just play outside linebacker. But I think as they move along, he'll move inside and do some things. Josh Allen is a physical specimen. And then Trayvon Walker walks next to Josh Allen, and you realize why I think he was the number one pick. He's 6'6". He's all of 270 or whatever he's listed. Long arms. He can move. I mean, he's got – you saw it on the first snap of the Hall of Fame game, the bull rush against a massive tackle and just pushed him right back into the quarterback. Yes, it was a penalty, but you like that impact. And he said after the game, hey, I just wanted to impact the play somehow. We can fix the stuff at the end later, basically, to paraphrase him. So far, so good. Great work ethic. Good character guy. Is in the building doing all his things right. And that's a good start.
At the end of the first round, they were also able to get Devin Lloyd. What are the expectations for the linebacker out of Utah?
Well, you got to get him on the field first. He had a hamstring injury in the day before training camp started in the conditioning program, so he has not been in an 11-on-11 teamwork yet. So he's just now starting to get back to positional drills this week. And Doug Peterson said today that they might get him back in the team stuff next week. And I think the goal is to play him against the Steelers in preseason week two. That's probably the idea there. But the expectation is, everything you could imagine at Utah that he did. He's all around the football, interceptions. They'll blitz him some. He's going to be all over the field. I think that's just, if they can protect him and let him run around, let the big guys up front do their work, give him the space to go run free and make plays. It reminds me a little bit of what Telvin Smith used to do here, except Telvin Smith was 210 pounds soaking wet. Now this guy is thick and can run and can do all those things, and that's a good place to be. You just got to get him on the field first, but he's close. He's in a good headspace, too.
Let's get to the next down. J.P. Shadrick here with us. We know last year was a disaster with the head football coach at Urban Meyer. Legendary college coach was a disaster in the NFL. Doug Peterson, I've been around him in Philly. Players coach, has the respect of the locker room. Is a guy that's more has to be a lot more understanding than Urban Meyer. Just how much of a difference is it early on, and how much of a sense of relief is it that Urban's no longer there?
Well, his first order of business, Doug Peterson he said this, was to regain the trust of the organization, the players. I mean, I think there were a lot of guys who were new to the league in the last year or so that were shell-shocked, for lack of a better term, of what happened with Urban Meyer around there. So his goal, being in the league since 1991 as a player and coach, was to prove to some of these really young guys that were impacted by this that it's not always like that. And it can be done a different way. And you can trust coaching staff, especially when the entire coaching staff played in the National Football League, pretty much to a man. So they understand what these players are going through, how they feel, and how to approach in a different way a professional football player in a professional environment. So that was step number one. I think it's been achieved because you roll out here in training camp, all of a sudden you got to turn up the heat a little bit and have a live tackling practice like they had on Sunday. Three periods of live tackling, and they go at it. I mean, it's like he gives them, the players give him what he asks for. Now he doesn't beat him up. He protects him for the most times. When he asks for it, they play hard, at least so far in training camp. So that's a pretty good relationship so far, in my opinion.
Outside of Urban not being there and Doug being the head coach, what is the biggest difference, in your opinion, from the team last year to this year?
Well, I mean, they feel like that they've got some weapons on offense. We'll see. I mean, they spent a lot of money on them, right? I mean, Christian Kirk actually turned the ankle the other day, so he's kind of day-to-day right now. Zay Jones, they like what they've seen out of him in training camp so far. They got Evan Engram on a one-year kind of prove-it deal at tight end. They're expecting him to do some things in this offense. And then Travis Etienne is back. So I think just having those guys in your offense, those are starting players in your offense, that just makes things different, I think, right away. How explosive and whatever it will be, I couldn't tell you that. But I think it will be a different feeling offense. I think it will feel better than 14.8 points per game, Zach. Let's put it that way. You can't win in the NFL when you're not scoring and scoring at that low of an average. So I think they'll move the ball a little better. Maybe if Zay Jones is not that deep threat guy, which they think he could be, that might be one of the things still missing in the grand equation. But they got some other things now. ETN looks great. Christian Kirk looks the part, and they're going to be able to move the football a little more than they did last year.
Let's get to the next down. So when we get to Trevor Lawrence, we know this is year number two, but with all that happened last year, doesn't it feel like it's year number one?
Kind of, right? I mean, he's in a couple different ways, right? So last year, remember, he had surgery on his non-throwing shoulder right around the draft, or right before the draft, somewhere in that ballpark. So he spent last offseason rehabbing and not preparing, really. He was just trying to get healthy, and then it took him a couple months to get right and start throwing the football again, doctor's orders. It was a non-throwing shoulder, but still, you can't go out there and throw a week after you get cut up. So that put him a little bit behind anyway, I think, going into last season. And then everything that happened last season was just, you know, chaos. I think it's almost a clean slate of sorts. Andy has had the whole offseason to truly have an NFL quarterback offseason, where you're going to work with your guys in a certain place and you're doing this at a certain time, and you have a plan and you can go execute it from the day the season is over until training camp starts. So having that mindset, I think, has helped him a lot. And yeah, it does feel like a refresh, but he does still have 17 starts in his back pocket, and there are experiences in game that he will keep for a long time, and you can't really sell that short. That's a big deal. That's hard to have, and not many people have that in their back pocket going into year two with a refresh.
I look at him, and the way we talked about him coming out of college was similar to Manning, was similar to Luck as well, where the hype was just so great, and we know the career that Peyton had, and unfortunately injuries did in Andrew Luck. For Trevor, what's a successful season this year in your eyes?
I think just what I was saying a little bit earlier, get this offense going, right? I mean, you might
look,
I don't know,
competent.
I'm gonna give you a, yes, like, no, get the team down the field, score points. You may not be perfect. You're going to throw some interceptions, probably. That happens. But look, yeah, competent. There were times last year where it just didn't feel that way. I don't know if it was his fault, but it just wasn't that way. Well, it's your team, Trevor. So take control of that situation. You got better players around you, they think. So it might happen naturally, but just make that next step and make it feel like an NFL offense. I think that's the next step in the right direction.
When it comes to James Robinson, where is he at from a health standpoint, J.P. Shadrick?
Well, I'll say this, Zach Gelb. He's about 7 months removed from an Achilles tear. So for me,
injury.
He's still, yeah, and it was like the second to last game of the season. So he's still, for me, just looking at him, a little, he's working to the side, maybe a little slight hitch in his running. There's still a feeling that I think internally they'd like to see him ready for opening day. We'll see. And obviously off to the side, not being able to run, I think he's put on a little bit of weight in the offseason. He's working that down. He's got the work ethic to go do it. But until you really start to stress this thing out and see if it's really going to work for you, you just don't know. So he hasn't done any team stuff yet, 11-on-11. He's just off to the side on his own. He's doing some handoff work with the quarterbacks, at least what I've seen. So now, he never was really an explosive guy anyway, right? I mean, his longest run for a long time in the league was like 37 yards. But he can get you four and a half. I mean, that's a career average for him. He rarely loses yardage because he has a little bit of wiggle. If he's hitting the backfield, he can get away and get back to the line of scrimmage. So he's got that. That's valuable to keep moving the ball forward about 4.5 yards. But that's why ETN's around, too. That's the home run threat. So that's a 1-2 punch. You got some other guys in there that can play also. So, for me, the jury's a little bit still out on James Robinson. They got to see it. And they've got a little time. We'll see what happens in the next 3 weeks if things improve quickly. But as of right now, there's still some work to be done with James.
Now let's get to the final down. When we look at this division, and I always like to get your view on this, who do you give the edge to win this division this year inside the AFC South?
Boy, I asked. I've asked about that to a few different people. And I think it's Tennessee did it. The Colts failed, but they've changed their quarterback. And it's just a kind of a race for third between the Jaguars and the Texans. But you would think the Jaguars would have the upper hand. So for me right now, I think the Colts have the upper hand because of their quarterback situation. The Titans are right there. Kind of flip a coin, I think, depending on who's playing better towards the end of the season. And then the Jaguars third in the division, and then Houston still just trying to figure it out. We've been there for a long time. I get it. It's not fun. That's what it is in Houston right now. So for me, it's Indy number one. They're the team that was right there knocking on the door. They made some key changes in the offseason, and it just feels like that might pay off for them.
What's the most amount of wins you could pin the Jaguars to have this year in your mind?
Well, I mean, they could have 17, Zach. I mean, come on now. I mean, in theory, no, I'm kidding, of course. So
I know.
For me, it's around 500. I mean, it's a really good step. They won three games. They won four games total the last 2 years. So, and they've made some changes, obviously, that time in a number of different levels of the organization. So you jump from 3 to 8, you know, 9 if the ball bounces. I think coaching alone will calm things down and get you 2 or 3. I think better quarterback play will get you at least 3. That's 6. A defense is going to look totally different. There's only 2 starters on this, you know, depth chart right now that were here in 2020 or before. It's all new. The new coordinator. So what's that going to look like? I mean, who knows? So,
and you know you'll beat the Colts up one time this year, because that always happens.
Hey, you don't come at a TIA Bank Field with a horseshoe because you're going to go out with an L. That's how it works around here. So it's about 7 years, I think, that's happened in a row. So, yeah, so there's that. And so that adds up to about 8 or 9 to me. And that's a good step in the right direction, in my opinion, for this organization. Can they win more? The ball bounces? Sure. If they get some momentum early. They win week 1 in Washington, come back home, the Colts, that's 2-0 in theory, okay. And then you're on the road twice. And then you got the AFC West in the schedule this year in the middle of the season. And then on the road, basically the whole month of December. I mean, it's a tough schedule. But if you get some early wins and a little momentum, then you know how that can go.
JP Shadrick, appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much.
Always great to talk with you. I appreciate it.
All right, there's J.P. Shadrick, senior reporter for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll come on back. We'll update you on the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call that segment the News Brief.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
And you can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, don't fade that music. Blast it up a bit, Hickey.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Let's hear from the commish, Roger Goodell, on why the NFL is appealing the Deshaun Watson decision.
Because we've seen the evidence. She was very clear about the evidence. She reinforced the evidence that there was multiple violations here. They were egregious. And it was predatory behavior. Those are things that we felt, we always felt were really important for us to address in a way that's responsible.
I'm going to say this, and Hickey, I'm sure you're going to use this against me one day. Roger Goodell is 1,000% correct. When Judge Sue Robinson comes back with the ruling that his behavior was predatory, how the NFL defined sexual assault, he violated that four times. He violated the personal conduct policy. When you say his behavior is egregious and predatory, it makes no sense how it's six games. Don't give me this nonsense of past precedents. Don't give me this nonsense of, oh, the NFL didn't give their players enough notice about this drastic shift in punitive action. I don't think you need to be informed, hey, don't act this way around massage therapists. So I have no problem with the NFL using the collective bargainly agreed upon power that they have in the way that this arrangement was made with the NFL and the NFLPA to appeal what was a week six-game suspension. Mike Tomlin to our guy Brian McFadden on CBS Sports HQ on if Mitch Trubisky would be the start if the season started tomorrow.
Yeah, because that's the premise in which we started. We've been really transparent with the guys, and we based our start on resume. And Mitch is one in this league. The statistics bear that out. He has more experience than the others. And so we just thought it was appropriate to start there.
Experience. If you want to tell me today that if based on experience, if you had to start a game tomorrow, regular season, Mitch Trubisky would be your starter tomorrow, that's one thing. A month from now when the games actually start to count, if your answer is experience, then I have a problem with that. Have the competition. He's also talked about, and he said this in a later clip that we'll play in just a second, that all three quarterbacks have played well. They're making this a tough decision. But if this is close, the tiebreaker should be what best helps you for your future. Get Kenny Pickett the experience now. Let him play. I don't think there's any harm in letting him play right now. If he shows you in training camp and the rest of the preseason that he has what it takes and he can weather the storm. If Trubisky or if Mason Rudolph do not assert themselves and clearly make it known that they're the superior quarterback, they don't deserve to start because they have that experience that you're talking about. If it's close, the tiebreaker should be who's going to help you more in the future. And I would believe that it would be smart on the behalf of the Pittsburgh Steelers, just like what New England did last year, in going with the youngster, going with the first round draft pick of Kenny Pickett. But we'll have to wait and see if the Steelers would do that. More Mike Tomlin. He says all three quarterbacks have played well so far.
They've all remained viable. They're making it difficult for us. It's tough to manage three capable guys, but they're forcing us to do it because they're making the necessary plays. They're anticipating. The timing has been good. The accuracy has been good. You know, Mitch's silver bullet, if you will, is his fluidity and mobility. He's a really good athlete. Rudolph throws a really good deep ball. Eight has been steady Eddie. Kenny P, I don't think you can get him in an environment where he gets flustered. And we were able to appreciate that because of proximity. We saw it at Pitt, and it's been the same. It doesn't matter what drill or what environment you put him in. He's steady Eddie and really cool.
Hickey, if we had Mike Tomlin in studio, and let's say we turned the microphones off, and we shot him up with truth serum. Do you think he believes in any of these three quarterbacks?
I would say no.
When you are hyping up all three quarterbacks and making it out as if all three quarterbacks are great or really good and they are all viable options, doesn't that kind of mean you don't really have a quarterback? If you have three quarterbacks on the roster, you really have no quarterbacks on the roster because it's clear who your quarterback is on the roster. I don't know if they've soured on Kenny Pickett that quickly. I don't think it's fair. But you also got to remember, he wasn't a top 10 pick. He was in the 20s. Now, it's still a first-round pick. It's still very valuable. Who else would you have drafted? Go offensive line, that's another topic of conversation for another day. I just wonder how sold they actually were on Kenny Pickett when they made that first-round draft pick. Taysom Hill on if he's accepted moving on from the quarterback position to tight end this season with the Saints. Who did?
I've never shied away from letting you guys know what my hope was, what my expectation was. I would say I'm at peace with knowing how the league works, right? And so it's things aren't up to me. And so with that being said, I'm willing to do what I need to do to help us win football games, and I'm at peace with that and helping, knowing that I'm contributing to us winning games, and I love playing, and so it creates opportunities for me to add value and be on the field and compete and do all that stuff, and I'm certainly at peace with that.
He's not at peace with the decision. He hates the decision. He still thinks he should be a quarterback, but even in an organization that doesn't have any great quarterbacks right now, Taysom Hill stunk when he was given the opportunity to play quarterback. That's what it was. You never looked at that guy and thought, okay, he could be the franchise quarterback. The only guy that actually believed in you was Sean Payton and Mike Westhoff. That was it. Clearly, Dennis Allen doesn't think you could be the guy. And he saw you in practice all those days and all those years, too, because he was the defensive coordinator. It's not like it's a new guy on the block, even though he's now has a lot more responsibility than Dennis Allen. And for Taysom Hill, this is what I would say. If you want to go be a quarterback, go be a quarterback. See if anyone gives you the opportunity to be a starting quarterback in this league. I would be shocked if he's starting a significant amount of games for any team the rest of his career at the quarterback position. He's not a quarterback. You disagree with that there, Hickey?
Maybe the CFL.
Oh. I said the National Football League.
Just in North America. Okay.
Yeah.
Or just America.
The NFL, the National Football League, where we really don't care about any other of these leagues when it comes to football.
You look at the CFL and some of the high draft picks they have at quarterback. Taysom Hill could absolutely play for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Rough Riders. Wasn't Paxton Lynch there?
That's what I'm saying. He's like one of the prime time picks.
Maybe Taysom Hill could start games with AAF if they ever come back. Well, no, Mraz.
The XFL round two. There you
Mraz will spend about 20 minutes talking about it. He could stop spending 20 minutes talking about me and could spend 20 minutes talking about, oh, Paxton Lynch with the AAF football team. That little chihuahua. Dan Campbell on why he's having the team practice tackling on the first day of full pads is courtesy of Hard Knocks.
I had a couple of you look at me like, what the fuck? Why are we going live? I swear to God, I'm not a lunatic. I swear to you.
You are.
And if I absolutely knew we could get to where we need to get without ever putting pads on, I'd do it. I swear to you. I don't want to put anybody in jeopardy. However, I do know this. The studies say you got to get volume and you got to get intensity before a season comes. You have to. If you don't, I'm not getting you prepared, not only physically for injury, but also for us as a team to get better. Defensively, what is the essence of what we do, man? What are the two things? Pursuit and tackle. Pursuit and tackle. Man, if you don't work on tackling, if we don't work on run after catch, making a move, man, what are we doing, man? Then we finally get to week 8 and we've come to life because we got enough reps. But I'm telling you, honestly, I'm doing this because it actually does help you with injury. If we do it the right way, we're not going to do it every day. But I got a plan, I swear to you. All I think about is you guys. That's all I think about, man. That's all I think about is you guys and how I'd set you up for the best possible advantage I can give you to have a season. I swear to you, man. I just need you to trust me. That's all. Please.
I'm going to ask you a really personal question here, Hickey.
Let's hear it.
Who cares more for the other person? Dan Campbell with his care for his football team, or your girlfriend caring for you? Your girlfriend's a very sweet lady. And I think she loves you greatly. But I don't think she cares for you more than Dan Campbell cares about winning and trying to get the Lions to be successful.
She has never been borderline crying and about to break down saying, I love you, Ryan. So.
Ryan, I believe in you so much. You're going to be a great radio host one day. I love you. You're great. I just want to see the best for you possible.
She's never done
no
that.
No way.
She's selling me short here. She might be on the hot seat when we get back.
I think you're more on the hot seat than she's on the hot
Please,
seat.
Please, I have the upper hand there. That's
Whoa.
For sure.
I don't know. I think Lolly could get rid of you and be fine. If you get rid of Lolly, I don't know if the same could be said.
Oh, well, that's for sure.
Yeah, but so how do you have the upper hand?
I think she likes you more.
Wait. She likes you more than you like her?
I'm just kidding. No.
Yeah, you're digging yourself a grave here that you won't be able to get out of. Just stop. Matt Rule says Baker Mayfield has gotten better each practice.
I think he's definitely improving. He's definitely improving. He gets more and more of a feel for what he can do at the line of scrimmage. And so those things are, you know, he's making – what he's done in 10 days is pretty impressive, or 10 practices, 11 practices. So he's making really good jumps.
As long as he doesn't get hurt, isn't it the lock of the century that Baker Mayfield's going to be starting week one up against the Cleveland Browns for the Panthers?
Lock it up.
Joe Burrow, his father said he could be out a few weeks following an appendectomy. Let's hear Zach Taylor on when Joe Burrow could return on the field.
I think what you see is what you get. He looks good to me. He's starting to get better every single day. And I don't want to put a timeline on when he gets out here and starts throwing and stuff. But it's been encouraging.
How about if he'll play in the preseason, your quarterback Joe Burrow, Zach Taylor?
Do I need to see him? No. And he played 3 plays last year through one screen for, I think, a negative 25-yard loss. Almost had 4 injuries. And so that was all he did last preseason and started the season pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think you need to play Joe Burrow in the preseason whatsoever there, Hickey.
Especially now.
And also, with the beating that this guy has already taken in year one and year two, even when they got to a Super Bowl, this was the most hit quarterback in the league. And now you finally have some resemblance of an offensive line. Cincinnati Bengals football. Just get to week one with Joe Burrow. That's the slogan for this year. I don't need to hear any of this nonsense in preseason and training camp for Joe Burrow. He's already shown me enough. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We come on back. Some potential Kevin Durant destinations and why one destination really shows the root of the problem that Kevin Durant has with the Brooklyn Nets. We'll get to that on the other side.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.